From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian governments committed to improving digital economy literacy. Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates discuss cooperation on migrant workers' placement. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Informatics is committed to promoting digital economy literacy through the National Digital Literacy Movement so that people can understand the importance of data privacy in the digital space. Coordinator for Digital Literacy at the Ministry, Rizky Amelia, said on Friday that Indonesian people are expected to become capable of conducting any digital economic activity. Thus, the digitalization era can be a golden opportunity for all Indonesians. She also remarked that Indonesia's economic growth has currently improved thanks to access to an increasingly inclusive digital economy. The rapid economic growth in Indonesia, which encourages financial inclusion, must be accompanied by various public education attempts to ensure that consumer protection is implemented well. Indonesian Minister of Manpower, Ida Fauzia, held a meeting with the Ambassador of United Arab Emirates, Abdullah Salem Obeid Al-Dahiri, to discuss a cooperation agreement regarding the placement of Indonesian migrant workers in the country. Minister Fauzia, in a written statement received in Jakarta on Friday, said that the main topic of discussion at the meeting was to align perceptions regarding migrant workers' placement in the United Arab Emirates. She also believes that the cooperation between the government of Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates in the field of Indonesian migrant workers' protection and placement could run better by upholding the protection and welfare of the workers. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries keeps increasing the value of fishery products export to China to support the acceleration of national economic growth. Indonesian Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Sakti Wahyu Trenggono, in his official statement on Friday, explained that Indonesia and China have signed a new Memorandum of Understanding on Maritime Cooperation. Both countries agreed to enrich, expand, and enhance mutually beneficial maritime cooperation mechanism. He also emphasized that Indonesia and China have also signed a memorandum of understanding on security guarantees in the import and export of aquatic products. He is confident that the realization of the bilateral platform will encourage the smooth export of fishery products with economic cooperation that promotes the sustainability of fish resources. China is one of the main trading partners of the Indonesian marine and fisheries sector in the Asian region. Export of Indonesian fishery products to China over the last 5 years have been in a positive trend with an increase from $477 million in 2017 to $890 million in 2021. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno welcomed the appointment of Indonesia as the host of the Junior Chamber International Asia-Pacific Conference 2023, which will be held in Jakarta from June the 7th until 10th, 2023. This international event will be attended by around 6,000 delegates of the Junior Chamber International or GCI members from various countries in Asia-Pacific and other continents too. One of the themes that will be focused is seeing is believing. This refers to the many beautiful areas in Indonesia so that they deserve to be introduced and promoted to delegates from abroad. Minister Sandiaga Uno, in a virtual speech at a press conference in Jakarta on Friday, invited the Junior Chamber International or GCI members to come to Indonesia, not only to Jakarta or Bali, but also other charming tourism destinations such as Borobudur, Labuan Bajo, Lake Toba, Likupang, and Mandalika. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thai government has revoked the mandatory mask regulation for both indoors and outdoors. The repeal of this mandatory mask regulation was carried out when coronavirus or COVID-19 pandemic situation in the country was reportedly to be improving. Reported by Channel News Asia on Friday, the announcement signed by Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha on Thursday local time is said to be effective immediately. The use of hygienic masks or eye clothes must be voluntary. As many as 18 migrants have died while trying to enter the Spanish enclave of Melilla in northern Africa, a source in the authorities of the Moroccan city of Nador told Sputnik. On Friday, Spanish news agency La Razón reported about the fatalities of 4 security officers and 45 migrants in the border clashes. According to the source, the dead migrants are from the sub-Saharan African nations. According to Spanish media, on Friday morning, around 2,000 migrants gathered at the Moroccan-Spanish border in Melilla. A group of roughly 500 people attempted to enter Spanish territory by breaking down a door at a border checkpoint. The migrants were reportedly armed with sticks and hooks, which they used against security officers. The worldwide number of children with possible hepatitis of unknown nature has increased to 920. The World Health Organization, WHO, said in a statement on late Friday that as of June the 22nd, 33 countries in 5 regions have reported the probable cases. According to the organization, 18 children have died and 45 others have required transplants. Some half of the cases have been registered in Europe. The risk at the global level remains moderate. That was the end of news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first news comes from Banda Aceh, Aceh Province. The Aceh Culture and Tourism Office noted that more than 200 traditional Indonesian musical instruments from the collection of 31 museums throughout Indonesia were exhibited in the contemporary room of the Aceh Museum. The exhibition of traditional Indonesian musical instruments, called Ragam Nada Satu Rhythm, took place from June the 22nd to 25th. Acting head of the Aceh Culture and Tourism Office, Almuniza Kamal, in Banda Aceh last Wednesday said, "This exhibition aims to introduce traditional musical instruments that still exist and played by the people of Indonesia. Therefore, he asked that the instrument be kept at the Aceh Museum until the end of 2022. He said, Aceh itself was more focused on introducing the rapai musical instrument because as the host, it did not want to dominate traditional musical instruments from other regions. The next news comes from Denpasar, Bali. Young artists from Denpasar City and Karangasem Regency competed to play in the Selendro-tuned traditional gamelan music during the Children's Puppet Gender competition at the Cultural Park of Bali Province, Denpasar City on Wednesday. The performances of the 8 children attracted the admiration of the audience who packed the Ayoda Circle at the Bali Provincial Cultural Park. Dr. Igusti Putu Sudarte, as the judges coordinator for the Gender Puppet competition, said that he was proud to see the performances of young artists at the Children's Wayang Gender Wimbakara event, which is part of a series of activities at the Bali Arts Festival. He praised the ability of the young artists from Denpasar City and Karangasem Regency in performing Tabuh Pamungkah, Sekar Sungsang, and Angkat Angkatan. The latest news comes from Yogyakarta. Deputy Minister of Religion of the Republic of Indonesia, Zainud Tauhid Saadi, opened the Ecclesiastical Choir Festival Monday night at Prambanan Temple, Yogyakarta. He says that the choir festival, which is held every 3 years by Christians in Indonesia, made a big contribution to the development of interreligious harmony in the country. According to Zainud, holding the choir festival at Prambanan Hindu Temple shows that there is no dividing wall between religious believers. On the other hand, according to him, in this way, a bridge will be built that connects religious communities in Indonesia based on mutual respect. Music. Well, that was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on the birthday of B.J. Habibie. Baharudin Yusuf Habibie, born in Parepare, South Sulawesi, June 25, 1936, is the third president of the Republic of Indonesia. He replaced Suharto, who resigned from his presidency on May 21, 1998. Habibie had worked at Messerschmitt Bolko Blom, an airline company based in Hamburg, Germany, reaching the peak of his career as the vice president of technology. In 1973, he returned to Indonesia at the request of President Suharto. He then served as Minister of State for Research and Technology from 1978 to March 1998. Habibie died at the Gatot Subroto Army Hospital at the age of 83 on September 11, 2019. Moving on to the event on June 25, 1938, about Indonesian Language Congress. The Indonesian Language Congress is a five-yearly regular meeting held by the government and practitioners of Indonesian language and literature to discuss Indonesian and its development. This congress was first held in the city of Solo on June 25th to the 28th in Solo, Central Java. At first, the congress was held to commemorate the Youth Pledge Day, which occurred in 1928. Then this event was not only to commemorate it, but also to discuss the development of Indonesian language and literature and plans for its development. We end today in history with the event on June 25, 1950, when the Korean War began. The Korean War was a conflict between North Korea and South Korea that took place from June 25, 1950 to July 27, 1953. South Korea's main allies were the United States, Canada, Australia, and the United Kingdom. The war ended on July 27, 1953 when the United States, People's Republic of China, and North Korea signed a ceasefire agreement. South Korean President Syngman Rhee refused to sign it but promised to respect the ceasefire agreement. But officially, this war has not ended until now. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Morning view. You wanna fly?
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 475 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia plays a role in facing global crisis. Indonesia is one of the countries that it takes part in helping mitigate and provide solution to the current food, energy, and financial crisis through the Global Crisis Response Group, or GCRG. The assistance is given to vulnerable countries, especially those impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic and the crisis between Ukraine and Russia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, representing the G20 presidency, is trusted by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres to be a member of the GCRG along with the Prime Minister of Bangladesh, Prime Minister of Barbados, Prime Minister of Denmark, Chancellor of Germany, and President of Senegal. Indonesia's role in the GCRG, or Global Crisis Response Group, was one of the discussion topics in the virtual meeting between the Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Airlangga Hartarto, and the Executive Secretary of the United Nations Economic and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific, or UNESCAP, Armida S. Alisyah Bada, last Wednesday. Airlangga Hartarto explained the discussion called the GCRG Sherpa Forum covers food security, energy security, and financial issues, which are in line with the discussion on the priority agenda of the G20 presidency of Indonesia. Regarding the issue of food security, Airlangga Hartarto said Indonesia has been able to meet national food needs, as this year, Indonesia has a surplus of rice production of 7 million tons. Likewise, with energy security, Indonesian coal commodities are in demand due to high oil and gas prices as a result of the conflict in Eastern Europe. Airlangga Hartarto said Indonesia has a role in dealing with current global crisis in Eastern Europe with its strategic position in fulfilling food and energy commodities, especially coal, in the region. Regarding Indonesia's role in the GCRG and the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals, he hopes that UNESCAP can support the Indonesian government in terms of studying the focus of the GCRG discussion, namely foods, energy, and finance. He also explained that Indonesia is the largest digital economy market in Southeast Asia. In 2019, the value of Indonesia's digital economy is $40 billion. It is estimated that it will increase to $133 billion in 2030. The digital economy sector in Indonesia recorded positive growth of 11% even during the COVID-19 pandemic. He added that the G20 Indonesian presidency is important for Indonesia to cooperate with the parties involved in the digital economy ecosystem to be able to provide concrete achievements for the community. In line with that, the Digital Economy Working Group will launch the G20 Digital Innovation Network. It is the first forum that brings together many startups, venture capitalists, policymakers, and corporations in the digital economy sector. This year, the targets are 100 startups with innovation focus on the health sector, green and renewable energy, financial inclusion, and supply chain. On that occasion, Airlangga Hartarto also shared an update on the Indonesian pre-employment card program. Since starting in April 2020 until June 2022, it was recorded that 12.8 million people had received the benefits of the pre-employment card, divided into 53% of male recipients and 47% of female recipients. UNESCAP Executive Secretary Armida Salsila Alisyah Bana expressed appreciation for the implementation of the pre-employment card program in Indonesia. In addition to helping the Indonesian people by increasing their skills and competencies, this program is also a semi-social assistance facility to communities affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. With cooperation between the government of Indonesia and UNESCAP, this program can be replicated in other countries, especially in the Asia-Pacific region. According to the UNESCAP Executive Secretary, the moment of holding the Indonesian G20 presidency is expected to maintain the unity of the G20 in order to provide solutions to global problems that are currently happening. In addition, Armida Alisyah Bana also supports the achievements and progress of Indonesian government programs in encouraging the achievement of the SDGs in the country, expected to become best practices to other countries in the Asia-Pacific region. Well, that was my Indonesia Today.
Jadi semalam aku tak mampu tuk lupakan kamu, membuat diri ini duadu di mabuk kepayang.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Tapakolo Culinary from East Nusa Tenggara. East Nusa Tenggara is famous for its natural beauty. But besides beautiful nature, the area which has nickname Coral Area also has many traditional and unique foods that are different from other regions, one of which is namely Tapakolo. Tapakolo is a traditional dish which has been made and consumed from generation to generation. Tapa itself means grilling, while kolo means cooking with bamboo. Thus, tapakolo means cooking food in bamboo by burning it. The food which is cooked in this bamboo is rice. Tapakolo is usually found during traditional ceremonies. Tapakolo is not served on weekdays because usually the rice used is not just any rice. But the rice from the harvest of society has gone through a series of traditional rituals carried out by traditional village elders before being processed and cooked to be tapakolo. Listener, to make tapak kolo, we need young bamboo, which has a size of 30 centimeters and is wrapped with banana leaves or young palm leaves to give it a different taste. This kolo burning process takes about half an hour. The way of making it is fairly simple. After washing, brown rice or white rice is put into bamboo that has been covered with banana leaves or young palm leaves until the cooked rice remains clean. Then add salt and flavorings and water. Sometimes for a variety, meat is also added. Then the bamboo pit is covered with banana leaves and burnt over coals for 30 minutes. Kolo is usually served while still warm with side dishes such as toast and jackfruit vegetables. Kolo, a typical food of East Nusa Tenggara, is usually served as the main dish during the traditional Panti ceremony, which is a Thanksgiving ceremony after the harvest. The people of East Nusa Tenggara expect a better life in the following year after the harvest season is over. Usually, local residents cook tapak kolo in the traditional gadang house during the rice planting season. But there are also the people who cook it in the rice fields. If you are a culinary lover and want to try this tapak kolo, you can visit East Manggarai, Nusa Tenggara, because now you can find tapak kolo in markets with more diverse side dishes without waiting for a traditional ceremony. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Aku menang. Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. Hello, VOI listener. Welcome back to miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. Listeners, Indonesian people are talking about Nasida Rias Qasidah Islamic pop music group from Indonesia after going viral in the social media with the performance at the Documenta 15 Germany on June 18, 2022. Nasida Rias successfully steals the audience's attention with their hit songs such as Kota Santri, Dunia Dalam Berita, Bom Nuklir, and Perdamaian. Nasida Rias also performed some songs in Arabic. In their performance, the lyrics of the songs were displayed on two screens, one in Indonesian and one in German, so that the meaning of the songs could be understood by the audience. Even though the music genre performed by Nasida Rias is still unfamiliar to the audience, it did not lower the enthusiasm of the audience as seen in the videos of Nasida Rias' performance on Documenta 15. Documenta 15 itself is a contemporary art exhibition held every 5 years in Kassel, Germany. Officially opened on June 18, 2022, this event will last for 100 days until September 25, 2022. The opening was held at the Museum Friderikianum and Documenta Hall. Documenta 15 was first held in 1955 and part of the Federal Horticultural Show, which seek to encourage the art movement that had been slowing down after the Second World War. Nasida Rias managed to show skills at the event thanks to Ruang Rupa as the art director. The art exhibition is also a series of activities to celebrate the 70th anniversary of Indonesia and Germany diplomatic relations. Documenta 15 is not the first international performance of Nasida Rias. Since the beginning of their career, this Qasidah group has performed twice in Germany, to be precise at the Die Garten des Islam, an Islamic cultural festival in 1994, and in 1996 at the Heimatland Festival. Nasida Rias performed abroad for the first time in 1988 to celebrate the Islamic New Year in Malaysia. The music group Nasida Rias was formed in Semarang, Central Java in 1975 by a teacher named H.M. Zain. By gathering his 9 students to become a band, H.M. Zain started training the band and holding some performances. Initially, the song lyrics were mostly in Arabic, but a scholar suggested that Nasida Rias changed the lyrics of the songs to Indonesian and changed the performance style until they finally get success. Well, listener, that was miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Indahnya awal kita bertatap mata, ku menyapamu di seberang sana. Gundah gelisah seakan terlupa, tawa candamu mengalihkan semua. Getaran ini terasa nyata. Apakah kau juga merasa? Kau dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia. Kau yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia. Kau dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia. Kau yang terindah. Tingkahku yang terkadang kau
isi. Jangan kau pendam di dalam hati. Maaf semua takkan ku ulang lagi. Indah rasanya senyummu kembali. Getaran ini terasa nyata. Apakah kau juga merasa kau dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia? Kau yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia. Kau dan aku bersama mencari arti dunia. Kau yang terindah yang membuatku bahagia.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Welcome to getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Gemersik Batang Bambu to be sung by Sundari Sukojo. How comfortable is it when listening to the original keroncong song, which was composed by Joni Sulu, entitled Gemersik Batang Bambu? This song tells the atmosphere of very beautiful morning in the countryside where one can hear the rustling of bamboo stick. A girl is waiting for her lover, who is in a hilly village with a gender-strongling rival. She wants to be returned to her beloved village while looking at the green leaves along the beautiful hills. Here is Sundari Sukojo with the keroncong song entitled Gemersik Batang Bambu.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.